Life is unpredictable, but how you prepare for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. Whether to cover debts and routine expenses or even invest the money and earn interest over time. With Policy Genius, finding and buying life insurance is simple. You can compare quotes from top insurers and could find coverage that fits your needs and your budget. Plus, they offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. It's an easy way to feel good about and plan for the future. No wonder Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com to compare top-rated life insurance policies, get your lowest quote, and make a smart move in under 10 minutes. That's PolicyGenius.com.
Welcome to Buckets in the 503. I'm your host, Nawan Thompson.
And Curtis Williams, welcome back. Appreciate all the listeners and viewers for all the positive and the negative feedback we get. Always can improve, and just when people miss it, we miss a week for the episodes. We definitely get a lot of texts and messages, people asking when the next episode is coming out. So we definitely appreciate the support from all the Oregon basketball fans and coaches.
And today we have a special guest, a parent of a player who's been through the whole process. His son is currently at Bushnell University, was a former MVP of the Metro League, co-MVP last year of the Metro League, Keenan Recamp, and we want to welcome to the podcast, Brett Recamp.
Hey, Nawan, Curtis, thanks for having me, fellas. How are you guys?
Doing outstanding, man. We appreciate you coming on, taking the time on this day.
Yeah, appreciate you coming out.
Are you kidding? Everywhere I go, when I speak to people and my son Keenan comes up, I literally just say he's my favorite topic. Talking about my kid is my favorite topic. Nawan probably feels the same way.
No, definitely. You know, you always got to be cautious talking too much about our kids, right? Sometimes it makes people a little uncomfortable. So, but this is always fun. You know, Keenan is one of my favorite players. You know, one of the favorite pitches that I have is, you know, your son and my son hugging at the Les Schwab Invitational after beating Owyhee in a big game. And so that's always one of the favorite pitches that I always pull up on my phone. So
that's
great memories.
Can you give me that? Because that moment that was captured, that was a big upset. Curtis, you know about that? The Southridge high school team.
Yeah, definitely.
Straight up, like, rose to the occasion, and afterwards, a real win. You know, a couple of the players, it was just very authentic, the way they were hugging and smiling. That's really cool.
Yeah, I remember that game, the Les Schwab. I know Owyhee kind of slept on you guys. You came in ready to play, and the thing about the Les Schwab is you only had that much time to game plan. You get, you know, after you lose, you got to recap 24 hours, play again, sometimes less than 24 hours, and that was a huge win for the Southridge program and for the state of Oregon.
No, definitely. So, Brett, you know, we just want to go through, you know, the basketball journey of you as a parent and with Keenan. Take us back to when, you know, Keenan first picked up a basketball. Like, when did you know the game meant something to him?
The moment he could stand, and I'm not joking. First of all, I realized he was a lefty, right, when he was in his high chair. And he started chucking food, and we're like, okay, well, apparently this kid's a left-handed individual. He got a little tykes, which is just a beautiful thing, you know, the little tiny basketball thing. And the second he could stand, he was just, we almost thought he was on the spectrum, right? Because he would just ball, 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 ball. And he wore the little tykes out, and we just kept raising that little tykes up. And that we just realized that not only did he have a knack for that, he was frankly obsessed with making baskets. So from there, it was the YMCA, 5 years old, and he's been in competitive basketball his entire life.
Now, what were those early years like in the rec league and travel ball and the weekend tournaments? You know, as a parent, that's a lot of time and a lot of money spent going around with the travel ball and stuff. But when did Keenan make that transition from, like, rec ball to really being competitive basketball?
That was at the Hoop, right? So the Hoop, the Beaverton Hoop, there was I guess, fourth grade. is when you start being, is it fourth grade maybe or third grade?
It's about fourth grade.
Yeah. A friend of mine who has an athlete, Landon, they were buddies back in the day. By the way, Landon Sigler is playing baseball for Warner Pacific. He's a baseball kid. But Keenan and Landon, when they, you know, they tried out for the best team they had. And as a father to father, it was like, okay, you just don't know if he's like really good until you get into that moment. So it was right there at the hoop that he grew up, and then he outgrew the hoop off to Dynasty with Julius because he's looking for, you know, something different. And then he ended up players only with Marquise. So that's, you know, early on, he just, he is very into it and competitive and good.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Brett, if you ever seen, I mean, I met Brett when Keenan was in, I think, about seventh grade, and every single game he was doing the stats, video and stat. I'm talking about stat for every stat you can think of, right? Then when I first got his number, he texts me, you know, sometimes on the iPhones you get somebody's bio, and his was always, it says name, and then it says, Keenan is a star basketball and baseball player. Alpha Media USA.
Right. So I've been having that contact over my handle. I forgot about that.
Since I was in seventh grade when he used to be with Dynasty. And so, I mean, obviously, you know, sometimes you speak stuff into existence. Eventually it happens, right? But, you know, obviously it wasn't always uphill climb. I know one of my memories with you, I remember Keenan was always a super crafty player, but he didn't hit his growth spurt right away in middle school. And I remember a time where you were telling me in eighth grade he got cut from his South Ridge youth team, correct?
It wasn't me, just so you put that on the record.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I remember you tell you got, I think it was like a school league team. I remember you telling me it was 100%. And so, and then I didn't see you for like a year and a half because you ended up going somewhere else. And then we play you guys, and Keenan's starting as a sophomore, right? And he had grew like 4 or 5 inches. You don't remember that story?
I don't remember that story.
100% remember that.
That's good stuff.
It was like an eighth grade youth league team. I might have been Mustafa or somebody running. I don't know, but
yeah, Mustafa. You tell me,
hey, you came to like a Dynasty practice and you just say you just got cut from the South Ridge eighth grade team. I was like, what? How the hell?
Okay, so that was you know, Nawan obviously does an amazing job with the youth for South Ridge and other programs, right? Nawan, and that was more of a school team. So the players weren't necessarily, you know, it's kind of like a school team versus a club team. And the club team is like, you can be anywhere. So just by definition, you have a much larger pool of players. So oftentimes they're, you know, a little bit bigger and better, you know, at that age. But it's interesting you say that, Curtis, because man, did we have some ups and downs. All these kids, they grow at different rates. They're all their own person. Sometimes they're at the top of the mountain, and sometimes they're not. And Keenan's a perfect example of that. You guys know the type of player he is. He's not overly aggressive right away. Once he's comfortable, he can light it up. But he's the type of player that needs to be comfortable with this team. So all of our kids grow at different rates. Excel at different things. And then it's fun to see them kind of in the 17, 18, 19 year old range because they're sort of done. That's where they're, okay, this is the type of player they are. But yes, he was a late bloomer.
And to go from that to being as a senior co-player of the year in the league, I mean, obviously you said it goes ups and downs, so we'll go through that. It's just amazing seeing his journey.
No, absolutely. What was one of the favorite memories that you have in the younger days that just kind of made you smile? You know, when you knew Keenan was going to be, you know, a star.
Tay, there's a gentleman who goes by the name of Tay, and he's another one of his big time coaches back in the day, and that was at Hoop. I have little videos, you know, you snap little videos here and there, and as technology changes, we're all sort of recording in different ways. But there's a couple of clips where steal bucket, and it's kind of funny. So he's got a lot of those moments, and if you're a parent, you know, it's always great when your kid's doing well, but oftentimes you're judged when your kid's not doing terribly well, right? That's when you have to put your character into play, and I have tried to do that, you know, as a parent. But when your kid's not great, it's important for you as a parent to remain level. And, you know, that's a little bit of work.
That's probably the toughest part as a parent who's competitive, right? Is when your kid's not playing well. How do you handle that as a parent? And how do you portray that to your kid at that point in time? So, you know, I still struggle with that right now going through it. So appreciate those words of wisdom.
What is the best way to handle that is two guys for parent athletes?
I don't necessarily have the answers. Everyone is different. You just have to try to be positive. I mean, there's lots of different methods and theories, but you don't want to be a you know what, right? It's so easy to just be not only with others, but with your kid. I don't have the answers, Curtis, but, you know, every kid's different and we made it. I just thought I'd point that out, you know, because I think it's important for parents to be cool and positive and reasonable and supportive, whether your kid's a star or a medium or quote unquote the bottom, right? It's not, it's because it's going to happen. And I think it's a learning process and your kid is noticing, right? How we act, they're sponges. And, you know, we just do the best we can.
I would piggyback it off that and just say, you know, you, like you said, every kid is different. So there is no cookie cutter response to that on how to deal with the kid. But I would just say you have to be in tune with your kid on what they need at that point in time. Sometimes it is a little kick in the butt. You know, sometimes it's a hug. Sometimes it's like, hey, just keep doing what you're doing. It'll all work out. But you just have to be able to read your kid and see what moment they're in and how they're responding to the moment as well. And then you have to read off that. Would be the biggest thing I'd say on that. They're, you know, sometimes they need different things at different times, but you have to be in tune with your kid and not be so in tune to your emotions to make a knee jerk reaction, but be in tune to what you're seeing, how they react to it. Kind of like, you know, coaching a team. You got to understand how your team is doing and have that camaraderie with the team to understand exactly what they're doing and what they need at that point in time. Because it's not always the same. The moment might look the same, but it's never two moments that are the same. And so
I'll tell you what, thank you, Nawan and Curtis. I'm honestly getting the chills because I'd forgotten about some of those moments. I absolutely ripped my son Keenan multiple times. I'm talking about like ripped in, you know, in the car privately. And it's just because of his personality drove me nuts because he does. I was like, dude, this is prison. And if you don't fight your way out, you're going to get run over and nobody's going to care. Right. And so I've had many of those conversations just based on my personal son's personality. Everybody knows Keenan's smooth, right? You look up and you don't necessarily notice his stats. That's just the type of player he is. And sometimes he would disappear, right? And it drove me insane. I tell you what, all those moments led up to one. We were on the road, and this is late in his career. I'm trying to remember. It was in Vegas, actually. Was it Southridge? Did Southridge go to Vegas? Or maybe it was players only. Anyway, it was late in Keenan's career, right? So I think 17U. He did not show up. And I did my usual dude, you know, point thing. And that was the moment where Keenan, he got up. He's 6'2", right? He's ripped. I'm 5'8", according to my driver's license. Now, all dads can handle their kids. But that was the moment when Keenan stood up to me and he'd had enough. And so that was an interesting moment where Keenan said, I mean, he got up as a man, right? And he flexed. Of course, we didn't fight or punch each other. I say, of course, thank goodness. But it was like, okay, message received. And he and I took a couple days to get through that. So that was a moment where Keenan stood up to me. And, you know, and his senior year, by the way, was almost a chip on the shoulder type of a year. For some reason, he was pissed off. And he didn't require certain coaching. And his senior year, we weren't sure if he was going to even continue to play competitive basketball. Because a lot of the kids you deal with, right, what's the goal? To go to college.
Play college basketball.
Right, get paid to go to college is a lot of the goals for a lot of these top players. And we weren't sure about Keenan for a while. And he kind of like, to his credit, he huddled with himself. And he played with this angry chip on his shoulder when he's a senior. And it was a little bit different than his other career. And there you go. And he did that all himself. And that's another thing that I'm sure you guys want to talk about. Everything has to come from the kid. You can only coach so much, especially if you have a high level of talent like Elijah Thompson. You know, Nawan's kid is an absolute stud. No doubt has a very, very high ceiling. But each and every kid has to have that for themselves. They have to want it. You cannot want it for them. And at some point, as parents and coaches, you have to let that bird fly. And it's got to be all on them, and some fly and some fall.
Now, Keenan was, you know, he was a smaller, got his growth spurt a little bit later than most kids. Talk about that transition from middle school to high school for Keenan. Like, what was the big adjustment for him? And did he go straight to varsity? Was he JV, freshman? Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, thanks, Nawan and Curtis, and I appreciate you having me. And it is interesting to talk about competitive youth basketball, right? And as these kids get older, I think I'll give a shout out to Andre Walker. Boston Walker from La Center. Stud, right? This is a kid who was just a chip. He was tall, strong. Boston Walker? Yeah. Anyway, my point is Andre Walker, his dad, played professional football. He went to Columbia University. And he's a big dude, right? And he's coached football, and he always said, Keenan's going to grow. Keenan's going to grow. He looked at his feet, his arms, and his hands. And somewhere along the line, Keenan did grow big time. And for him, he was able to maintain his kind of shooting guard skills. You know, he can handle the one and bring the ball up for sure. But that's not who he is. Unlike some people are just natural point guards, right? You have to have a special mentality to be a point guard. Keenan's not necessarily verbal. That's a problem for some coaches. That drove me nuts. It's like, talk. I don't care what you're saying on defense. I want to hear you. So his transition was kind of smooth. Once he got to Southridge High School, there was a shift with the coaching and the mentality. With the players, there was a wave of high quality players at Southridge High School in the Metro League for a period right before Keenan and Zoe. So Alonzo Hoff, right? They kind of grew up together. They were connected because they're the same age. When they got to Southridge, they were good enough to play at least JV. They put both of them on freshmen. And Keenan and Zoe absolutely destroyed everyone for about half the season. And then coach said, okay, let's move you up to varsity. Or, I mean, JV. And then Keenan ended up being the JV player of the year when he was a freshman at Southridge High School. So the transition was there. Yeah. He can shoot. You know, he can handle the rock. He's smart. Each player is different. Keenan is more of he's an IQ guy. He's got big, heavy feet. That's one of his problems, right? He's not fast. He used to be fast. I don't know what happened there. But unlike, you know, some of his teammates, he was more of just kind of a steady hand, you know, on the basketball floor. So, and then he was able to transition. And Keenan and Alonzo Hoff, they did not start. Zoe started when he was a sophomore. Keenan did not start the first few games as a sophomore at Southridge. But after a few games, he got moved into the starting lineup. So from that point on, you know, it was on, and we had a good nucleus there of guys that were a little bit older. Coach Vessel was terrific and continues to put Southridge in that top five, right? In the state. And so there you go. They grew up together, and he was a sophomore, junior. As a sophomore, he led the state 6A in free throw shooting percentage, like 90, I think it was 91 point something. As a sophomore, 6A, number one. And then as a junior, he led the state in 3-point shooting, like around, I think it's 42 or 43, right in there. So that's not bad, you know, Fred, and I was hoping he would have another state record when he was a senior. That way he could go sophomore, junior, senior. But as Nawan mentioned, he had a terrific year as a senior and was co-metro player of the year. 1,000 points, third all-time in Southridge. And if we want to talk about moments, that Gresham game on the road, and when he hit a three, that's probably one of the coolest things ever. When we were down against Gresham on the road, and I think he had a big game, but we were down and they somehow allowed him to inbound, and he hit that tying three with 1 second on the clock, and then we ended up winning that game. That was a big road win.
Huge road win. I remember that game because I was very irritated that we were down, and it felt like, you know, I think everybody in the gym thought we had lost that game to a team that we probably shouldn't have lost to at that point in time of the season. And then Keenan just came out of nowhere and kind of saved us and saved the season a little bit to help us get that top five, which helps you obviously with your ranking and then your seeding in your playoffs, which helped us get back to the Child Center for the second time in a row.
Yeah, definitely. And then one of the reasons why I brought up the eighth grade story is because I just think about how many kids and parents, if they went through that situation, would they have still went to that same high school? You know, so did that play a role in you guys choosing high schools? You were always 100% committed to that community? Or what threw you guys' head going into high school?
Super good question there, Curtis. And I'm sorry if I sort of moved through middle school. I think middle school is probably the least favorite period for most kids, is it not? I mean, hey, elementary is cool. Middle school, you just want to get to high school. But for us, you know, Julius wanted us to go to Benson Tech. That was not cool. There was the thoughts of Beaverton. Both Alonzo and Keenan thought about Beaverton High School, for real. But in the end, we're in the district, and we're like, hey, man, if you live here, guess what? This is where you're going. And then Coach Phil Vessel put his arms around Keenan and Zoe, and it's 7 minutes from our house. I mean, that's his high school. We're in the district. So it was always, in the end, Southridge High School, and he had just a terrific career and a good time.
Nice, nice. Julius dropped the ball on that one, couldn't close the deal.
Julius is a good guy. It's funny how you go through coaches and you have ups and downs with individuals, right? And then in the end, what are they? They're lifelong friends, and it's so worth it.
What was a typical training schedule for him like in high school? What was his typical schedule?
Yeah, I mean, Nawan could probably echo this. It's intense, you know? And that's probably one reason some of these kids truly hit walls. Now, he played baseball. He was actually really good at baseball. Played golf when he was younger. So he was a two-sport athlete, and I think that's important, don't you guys, to not necessarily wear yourself out all the time in one particular sport. It's good to have different muscles being used, different speeds. Like baseball and basketball are completely different, right? The slow baseball, you do one thing at a time a lot of times. Whereas basketball, it's far more athletic, frankly. So he did all the stuff, Curtis. He did, you know, I'm talking about, we drove all over the place. North Portland, Northeast, and we live in Beaverton. It was workouts. It was all the extra stuff. And you talk about money. Holy crap. Did we put out a lot of money? We probably put out an entire college tuition, right? If you add it up over the years. It's worth it. You know, we enjoyed it. Not going to lie. I was super glad that I had a boy because I love sports and I love basketball. So I got lucky there.
No, definitely. And you talk about, you know, the ups and downs that happen through that. Talk a little bit more about some of the setbacks that kind of tested him going through his high school seasons, and how did he respond to those?
Yeah. Thanks, Nawan. You know what? High school for Keenan was actually pretty smooth. I'm not going to lie. I feel like, because, you know, there's kids who can jump in. Eli Visconde was very close to Keenan. He actually reclassified, and he is at Mountainside. Keenan and Eli were another group, that sort of grew up together. But It's tough. I mean, there's just moments. I don't know. Up and down. You don't want to whip your kid. So maybe I forgot about those bad times, Curtis.
Do you keep track? Have you ever seen Brett at a game? He always doing the stat. Do you keep track of all those stats from all the high school and AU games? Do you still have like a file of all those?
Yeah, I do. I do. For some reason, it was comforting for me. Matthew Lohman is an athlete too that was connected to Keenan back in the day. And since you brought that up, they did the 3-on-3 thing. 3-on-3 basketball was pretty big. Remember that? In fact, they won a little group, and then we went to Dallas, Texas, with Eli and Keenan and Matthew. And it's just, it's just up and down. Forget what I was saying. Ask me that again.
If you kept track of all the stats and stuff from...
Yeah, let me keep track of what the heck I'm talking about. I was talking about Matthew. Now I remember. It's because of his dad, Ed. Again, lifelong friends. Isn't that fantastic?
Yeah, I remember Ed.
Yeah, so Ed was the first one keeping stats. And this was back at the Beaverton Hoop. And I was like, hey, man, what is that? And he would send them out. And that's a whole other topic, you guys, right? When some parent on their own decides to break down the game or provide footage or, in my case, stats, and then send them out. There were times when one of the hoop coaches said, I don't want those out. You know, it's like, okay, fine. You don't want to see the truth. I mean, stats don't tell all the story. We all know that. But they are stats. But he showed me that. I started doing it. And for some reason, because I'm slightly neurotic, I did it every single game. And I still kind of do it in my mind. So I kept stats for our team, for Keenan, whoever the heck we were playing since, seventh grade, something like that. And then I started sharing them with Coach Vessel from Southridge, the head varsity coach. And I'm like, when Keenan was a sophomore and joined the varsity team, I was like, hey, Phil, in fact, I might have done it when he was a freshman. You know, I do stats because I kind of have to because, again, I'm just sort of weird like that. Would you like those? And he said, sure. And I just kept stats for the entire team with this simple little app. And my caveat was, man, I'm doing my best. I think they're pretty close. If they're wrong, so be it, right? It is an amateur providing stats for one team. Just to give you a picture. And it got to the point where all the coaches, right, Nawan, they're like, I mean, they wanted him a halftime, right? Because you don't get that at a lot of the high school games. Tournaments, surely, you do. But I'd do halftime stats, bam. And they would go to the coaches and they would evaluate them in the locker room. And then I'd send them out. And then I had a little group of parents who were interested and they loved it. And so every game, I would just send them out to 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 parents who wanted them. And we just look at it. And sometimes we talk about it, you know. But yeah, I'm statted out, man. I did my job. I felt like I was contributing a little bit.
No, you're definitely contributing. I know I'm going to miss that this season. You know, I'm a stats guy myself and a video guy. So I was doing all the same stuff with my kid all the way through. And so I always appreciated those stats. You know, one of the worst things as a coach is when, you know, you're looking all of a sudden for those halftime stats and it doesn't come through because the Wi-Fi doesn't work because you're in a tunnel downstairs somewhere so you can't get the stats to you in time to kind of see and talk about it. You know, a lot of those stats tell us a story of the game. Like you said, it's not a complete story, but it does tell us like, hey, how were we doing on the rebounding? Where are we getting... You know, how well are we shooting it? Like all those sort of things. Like you can have a feel, but the stats definitely back up your feeling, or they might, you know, contradict your feeling. That's how they do it there.
Yeah. So the flurries, offensive rebounds, boom, 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 boom. That gets a little bit difficult. And a lot of times I'd hang out with a parent and I'd say, who made that pass? Oh, that was Elijah. Okay, cool. You know, because you're just one person with a set of eyes. But that was a lot of fun. And I'm sort of glass by me because in my mind, I still do it. Sometimes you reverse the stats, right? So if it's, let's say somebody gets a steal, and then an assist and a bucket, and then, or maybe an offensive rebound. In your mind, you're collecting that stat. steal, blah, 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 blah. And a lot of times when you input them, you'll go in reverse, you know, rebound, blah, 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 blah. And then you'll pull four stats in like that. And sometimes you know you miss stuff, you know, and I'm impressed with some of those guys who do it. And occasionally we would do a tournament or something where there was professional statistics and I'd be like, ah, I can rest. But yeah, I did a boatload of stats, you guys.
No, definitely. Well, you'll definitely be missed this upcoming season, for sure. So getting back to Keenan, and his journey as far as from middle school to high school, you said as a freshman, you know, he was one of the top free throw shooters, right? You and Eli, you said Eli
Visconde, who is a senior now at Mountainside.
Yeah, so I know he was the leading three-point shooter his freshman year.
Correct.
And then Keenan was his sophomore year.
That's right.
So that's a lot of shooting right there. And then Keenan's junior year had a big year for Southridge. You know, one of the big moments that I remember from that junior year is we're playing against Wes Lynn in the second round playoff game. And we're in a battle with those guys at Southridge at home. And, you know, I think we're down in the third quarter. And it's the end of the quarter. Keenan throws up a shot at halftime from half court and hits it. And the crowd goes wild. And all of a sudden the momentum is just shifted and changed into our side. And so that was a huge play, huge moment that I'll always remember from Keenan's career at Southridge.
Yeah, that's cool. He had that knack, you know. He had the ability to do things that blew your mind. And he's probably done it 8, 10, 12 times in his career where it was like, oh my gosh, brought the house down. The moment you're talking about was a buzzer beater and was just past half court with a swish. And that really elevated the team and the crowd and that kind of thing. Isn't that fun when something like that magical happens? It's like, wow, it was only 3 points, but it lifted us into that second half and fourth quarter. And by the way, KG, who is now at OIT, everybody knows him by KG, he wanted that ball. There's a video because Keenan got the rebound and there was you know, Carter and KG, two stud guards, really a nucleus for Southridge for their period. But if you see the video, and there is video of it, you almost have to get the rebound to get the shot. If you give up the ball, you're not getting it back sometimes. You can see KG was like wanting that ball. And Keenan said, no, I'm shooting it. And bam.
No, a huge moment. And those three guys that we're talking about right now, you know, Caden Grunid, a.k.a. KG, you know, 1,000-point scorer, top number 5 in Southridge history, right? You have Carter Fortune, number 4 in Southridge history in scoring. And then Keenan Recamp, who's number 3 all-time in Southridge scoring, all asking for the ball in that moment. All rightfully so.
It's a dog.
Yeah, because you have three of the main scores ever in the history of Southridge basketball. So definitely understand why he's asking for the ball, and I understand why Keenan decided to keep the basketball. Thank goodness he didn't.
That's right. And then, you know, later in his career, Curtis, you're talking about that. I think Players Only was absolutely elite. James Kefchin was part of that. He's also down at OIT, one of the best shooters you've ever seen. And that team and that group is where he was absolutely, you know, hardened with Patrick, you know, from Jesuit, who is all, he's going to D2. Where is he? St. Martin's. Yep. So that group right there, boom. That was no messing around when it came to that group. You know, Kai and just a bunch of players who really bonded and became young men. And look at him now. He's a freshman at Bushnell University at this time. In classic Keenan fashion, he needs to feel good, right, to play good, and he's done that. He's been at college as we tape this for about 6 weeks, you know, for Bushnell University, NAIA, right next to the University of Oregon. And he's comfortable now, and he's winning 3-point contests with his own team, and he's getting steals. And And, you know, there's a decent chance I'm hoping that he gets some playing time as a freshman at Bushnell.
Definitely excited to see his future the next couple of years. If you had to change one thing throughout the whole basketball process, whether it be middle school, high school, AAU, whatever, what is a change that you'd have made as a parent?
Man, what a terrific question, Curtis. There's mistakes in life. I wish I had an answer for you. Maybe golf instead of baseball. You know, he's a phenomenal golfer. He played when he's, you know, 6-7 years old, and then he switched to baseball. And his mama kind of wishes he'd have stuck with it, because he would have been that. But, you know, he played baseball and he got the team aspect and really enjoyed that. Thought it was good. As far as something different, what an excellent question, Curtis. When one goes back and reviews how they treated their young student athlete, you know, there's a time when maybe you should have put him out there a little bit more, right? It's just his personality. He was just such a homeboy, homebody, that kind of thing. And sometimes we regret maybe requiring him to do a little bit more on his own. Because my son will do exactly what he's required, right? But he's learning now in college. Because hello, you know, that's a change. He's on his own. So if I would change one thing, his mom and myself, probably a couple times, make him do some more things on his own. I just could not help, you know. Helping him sometimes, I'd be like, "What are you doing?" "Oh, I'm just folding his laundry," you know. So it's just he probably should have done a couple more things for himself, Curtis.
Definitely. I definitely understand that. One of my famous quotes that I tell a lot of parents and kids is, "You got to get your kid off the nipple, man." A lot of these kids in Oregon, man, right? A lot of these kids in Oregon, they, you know, I don't know if it's because how we grew up or what, but a lot of these kids, they don't really have to do a lot of things on their own in Oregon. You got to play the game.
No, definitely. As a, you know, as a parent who currently has a high school kid, I definitely understand that sentiment of trying to get them to do their own thing and push that. I will say, you know, there is another side to that. To sometimes they make bad choices, and then you get mad at that. Then, you know, they got to look at you and be like, "Well, you told me to go try and do some stuff on my own," and so. You know, there's all right, that flip right. side of it as well.
Flurries, right? This yeah. or the other.
So you have to live and die with some of these things
for like 3 days.
Exactly.
You know, and then they're back to the other thing. And
yeah.
And that's where, you know, as a parent, Curtis, we just got to love our kids. Because in the end, we tried to let the coaches be the coaches, and we're the parents. Because the kid needs a safe space, win or lose, whether he played well or not. And that is a situation where occasionally I did fail the kid. Fortunately, he turns out all right. Make the kid do a couple more things to answer your question, and then maybe not be quite as hard on him sometimes. But, you know, here we go. Life goes on, and he managed to overcome a bunch of things on his own. And I'm really proud of that. The senior year, I'm not kidding you guys, it was 100% keen, and it was bizarre. So I'm super proud of the kid, and he earned a scholarship. NAIA, I don't care what college you're going to, if you are a college athlete with a scholarship, you're about 2%, and congratulations, you earned it. And us parents still likely have a little bit out of pocket, but isn't that wonderful? It's sort of a breaking point for Keenan and other kids.
So if you had to describe like Keenan's journey through middle school, through high school, and now currently a college freshman, what one word would you use to describe that?
Consistency. One thing about Keenan is his secret superpower is his toughness. And it's something that maybe gets unnoticed a lot of times. But, you know, the number one ability is availability. You've heard that many times, right? Keenan got hurt just a little bit here and there, but that kid's a rock. So I would say congratulations to him, because thank goodness he got his mother's pain threshold, which is way up here. Mine's way down here. I'm a little wimp. But Keenan, he got absolutely beat to crap in many games. And that kid silently was available. He absorbed it. And he's tough as nails. And you just don't know it unless you're watching over a period of time. Because that kid's tough, man. That's one of his superpowers, is availability and toughness and consistency.
What advice would you give parents coming up behind you whose kids are just starting this path, you know, in the elementary, middle school range? What advice would you give them?
Yeah, that's another good question, Nawan and Curtis, and I appreciate you all having me here on this podcast. You know, give them resources. Everything has changed, and that's for sure. A lot of us parents, coaches are like, wow, you know, I sure didn't have that. I was lucky to have a t-shirt, you know, when I was a young athlete. Kids have all kinds of resources. I would say go for it. You know, expose it. If your kid has the desire, some talent to go along with his, you know, basketball career, invest in it and, you know, support him. Justin Hahn is one of those kids that was at the hoop, okay? He's kind of lanky. And Chris, his dad, I'm friends with him, and he was hardcore. Justin could not catch the ball, okay, when he was younger. But you know what? That kid put in more reps than anyone on planet Earth. It was ridiculous how many drills. I don't know if you know that. He ended up going to Westside Christian, right? Or, yeah, private school. And got him, he's at Pacific, I think, right now, Pacific University. Justin Hahn got his basketball career the hard way. And his dad supported him every single step. So that is one thing I would say. If your kid wants it, you'll make more money. Why do we work? We work to support our children. I say go for it. My advice, Curtis, would be provide them. Why not? You know, let them go for it would be my advice. Just go for it, because there's so many resources these days when it comes to, you know, training and so forth. So, yeah, let it rip, you know, as long as your kid is ready, give him what he needs.
Yeah, I definitely agree with the term to describe Keenan as consistent. He's always been the same mentally since I've known him, 6th, 7th grade. Even keeled kid, same personality, didn't get too high, didn't get too low. And just reaching his full potential. If you talk about kids who maximize their gifts and their potential, I'd have to put Keenan as the top of the list. Not saying he's the best player, but sometimes there's kids that are maybe more athletic or better than, but they didn't reach their full potential. And that's all you could ask kids, is to maximize the potential that they're given. And I'd say Keenan's one of those kids that maximized his potential.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. He did. You know, at some point he was ridiculously good, and then at some point he was, like, invisible, you know. The kids have the ups and downs, and you mentioned middle school a lot of times. Woo! Middle school's tough, right? You're in transition. What are you going to be when you get to high school? It's always like the next step for a lot of these kids with aspirations and talent. It's always about what's next, right? Man, it was like high school's coming up. Marquise Matthews from Players Only. He was about, all right, you know, listen, in 67 days, it's high school tryouts, you know. So a lot of these kids were looking to the next level. So middle school, just play basketball, baby. That's it. And get through middle school and look forward to high school.
Absolutely, man. Every part of the journey is important, but making sure that you're prepared for that next step, you know, is always the big thing. You know, Keenan, his senior year, you know, showed a lot for everybody. I think Coach Vessel did a great job of making sure that he was in great spots, and Keenan did a great job of contributing to those spots. I think it was probably one of the most efficient offensive teams that we've had in Southridge history, and a lot of that is due to Keenan's shot-making ability. So that was huge for us to be able to, I think the first time in Southridge history, to go back to the Child Center 2 times in a row, and Keenan was a starter both years in that. And so that was huge as far as that goes in building on his career. Talk about how proud you were when Keenan, as a senior, you know, to be named co-player MVP of the Metro.
You know, those are just moments that you relish. There's pictures. I look like a dork. All I can say is just a proud papa. I was like, finally, he got some flowers. I feel like because of his style, he was overlooked sometimes, right? He was kind of a glue guy. And yet he would shoot a high percentage and he would not turn the ball over and be that type of player. And a lot of times coaches do not notice that. So when you have those showcases, and he hated showcases, by the way, you know, those one day deals, he's like, I hate those because it's just show off ball. Some kids thrive in that. Keenan wants a team. You are very, very proud. They won that he got some flowers. The co-player of the year from Westview, by the way, his teammate, also the, you know, so a lot of these players he was playing with anyway. And then the 1,000 points, he got that at Mountainside on the road. And that was really cool, you guys, because all the parents were kind of spreading it. Hey, man, he's like a 9-9. He needs like, wait, I think he needed 18 points or something, you know, which is a healthy number. On the road, it was the second to last game, or was it the last game? No, that was the final regular season game for Southridge, I want to say, on the road at Mountainside. And Keenan had a nice, smooth game. And the whole crowd, I'm talking about all the parents, all the kids, it just spread. And everybody knew that it was a countdown situation. And then he had a baseline jumper that he swished for 1,000 points, and the entire Southridge group went absolutely nuts. And Mountainside fills their stadium, right? So there's a lot of fans at a Friday night for Mountainside. And they were like, the people on the other side didn't know why we were absolutely losing our minds, but it was fantastic. It was about, I don't know, 75 to 100 people, you know, kids, maybe parents, just excited for Quinoa. And somebody took a picture of me flipping out. That 1,000 point thing was pretty cool. You know, and it was just another chip, you know, just another thing that, you know, those records are meant to be broken. And we have a group now coming up that is so tight. I do want to say that when it comes to being a high quality basketball team, like, remember where Jefferson was always at the top, right? And there were certain teams that were like, yeah, they're good. You know, Barlow won a title. But Southridge High School with our little Skyhawk, right? I think the more you are up in the top five, the more people expect you to be in the top five. You know, there was one time we were second ranked in the tournament. We have not done well at the Child Center. But, you know, we're up in that top five from start to middle to finish of the season. And that's a testament to, you know, Phil Vessel and the group and Nawan Thompson, who I'm speaking to right now, and just the group. But you can only work with the kids that are in the district for the most part. And that's a whole other topic, isn't it? Individuals who live in the district versus actually getting recruited.
No, absolutely. As a, you know, developing the talent that you have around you is always the big thing that we always hung our hat on. Over at Southridge, and Keenan's a prime example of that, maximizing the talent that we have. And, you know, Keenan did a great job of carrying that torch and passing on to the next group coming in this year for Southridge. What do you hope people to say about your son at the end of his freshman season, not just a player, but as a person at Bushnell?
Oh, yeah. Thanks for asking that, Nawan. Just, Keenan is, he's an introvert, right? It's so funny, you guys, when you go on the road with a team of, say, 12 kids, you can just see two or three of them are super outward individuals. Some are in the middle and some are in the back. So I think he's just a solid guy. I would love to say that, you know, he earned his scholarship. He's really trying to earn his scholarship, and I think that's pretty cool. He's been given an opportunity, and he's working, You know, the first week, the weights, he couldn't lift his arms. He's like, I couldn't throw it in the ocean, you know. It was like, oh, for forever. But once his body, in the second week or so, and college is another step up, he's starting to be himself. So I think I want him to excel, you know. There's no reason, if he is comfortable, that Keenan Recamp can be elite and one of the top Bushnell players ever, because there's been, you know, they recognize two or three. If that kid gets comfortable and really wants it, which apparently he does, you know, Bushnell's not gonna beat, like, for instance, the College of Idaho, which is back-to-back champions. It's an absolute machine. They're the Yotes, right? They're in their league. This is a pretty good league. OIT down in Southern Oregon, Lewis Clark State. These teams are probably a little bit better than Bushnell. It's a solid league, the CCC. So he may not win a title, but I think if he shines and does what he does, that he can be just like Southridge, recognized as one of the best players ever at Bushnell.
Last question we have for you. Who is the best player at all the games you've seen Keenan play against? Who's the best player that he ever played against?
All right, one name would be Mookie. And it, you know how some kids grow faster too. When you're in middle school and high school, there's individuals who just get their growth spurts much faster. Keenan was late to the party. And by the way, when people saw him, they're like, and Curtis, you're part of that group. You're like, dang, Keenan, what happened there? Plus, he was just kind of short, right? He didn't expect that. But he played Mookie with Dynasty, who was dunking when he was, I don't know how old. But that's probably the best player that I can think of locally. He's played against a lot of you know, teams on the road. It's kind of a blur, Nawan. Am I right? That sometimes, you know, tournament after practice, etc., it almost blurs. I'd have to be reminded. I'm gonna look at my stats, Curtis, about that. I'll go back and look at my stats.
Yeah, definitely. Mookie Cook was McDonald's All-American, new at University of San Francisco this year, expecting a big year out of him. So definitely a good name to have at the top of your list.
No, it definitely all starts to blend together after a while. But, you know, I record all the videos and go back and watch, like, oh, yeah, I remember this game. And, oh, we played against this kid, right? And so that's always a lot of fun to go back and see everything, you know, through their journey.
Right. Shout out to my wife, Debbie Knippert, as well, because she took pictures. She had a nice camera. She's a photographer. And it's just fun when parents think, okay, I have a role here, and I can support the team this way. And that makes the parents and the kids, you know, a little bit better. It's fun as a parent to be involved. Although I'll tell you what, I am not a coach. There's a 12-foot circle around the kids that I'm not allowed in. It's just not, it's not my personality, not my strength. So when I try to coach, I'm instantly shut down.
Well, hey, we're going to wrap this up with some rapid-fire questions for you, right? So we'll give you some questions here, some quick answers, and let's see how it goes. You ready?
Fire away and fall back, fellas.
All right. So first word that comes to mind when you think about your kid's journey?
Growth. Yeah.
Nice.
Growth, not only personally, but physically, obviously, you know, the kid. It's just growth. It's step by step by step.
What's tougher, sitting through a youth tournament all day or nerves of your upcoming college games?
I don't know, Nawan. I'm waiting for the season to start. Their first game is at Montana on Halloween. So I would say the former. I'm going to say the tournament.
Okay. All right. More emotional, the first bucket he ever made, or you think you'll be more emotional for his first college bucket?
I'm looking forward to the college bucket. I've had a lot of moments. Yeah, I don't know. That's another one. Because the fourth grade with a little hoop elite, a little guy with his floppy blonde hair, that's terrific. So can I say a tie? Is that fair?
All right, we'll go with the tie on that one. a little bit harder one. What's the favorite post-game meal that you two shared?
Woo! We've done so many of those too, haven't we? There's a pasta place where we absolutely gorged out. I don't want to give them too much credit. keep in mind that everything's doubled, right, with the kids. Like, you get one meal, they get two meals. And so pretty soon it's $85 for one meal. But we absolutely chowed down. And that's a really wonderful moment because your kid, they've done well. They've certainly exercised. Their body's thrashed. They've taken a shower. And it's just afterglow, right? You just enjoy talking about maybe the game a little bit and then anything not basketball related.
What's the longest road trip you ever took for basketball?
The longest. We've flown, we've mostly been just West Coast. We're to Vegas every single year, and I did well, in case you're wondering there. So the longest, we went to Phoenix. We never really went. Some of the other club teams, they went to Chicago, but I didn't get to go. So I'm just going to say Phoenix.
What's the loudest high school gym that you ever played in?
I mean, you know, Mountainside was very, very loud when they beat the crap out of us. That would have to go back to some of those dynasty / early players only, gyms, right, Curtis? We're always going to middle schools. We're going to high schools. And sometimes there's teams. There's a team from the Bay Area that showed up that I've never seen anything like that. This group that traveled, that's the loudest I've heard.
Which is harder on you, the early morning practices or the late night drive homes?
Definitely the early morning practices.
I agree.
Yeah, there's a lot of divide and conquer when it comes to families. I always wondered how in the world do parents with multiple kids in sports do it? And I applaud them because every kid deserves support, whatever their passion is. And it's divide and conquer a rama, right? For some of these kids, I was lucky. His king is basically an only kid. So I was just one.
Nice. What's one game you'll never forget?
It was another club game where it was just, I guess it's one of those moments that he had 35 points, which is pretty good. Also another early hoop elite where we were down and we needed a bucket. And it was on the main court. When you're playing on the main court and you're, a sixth grader, for instance, it's big time, right? But the hoop has six different courts. If you're on court one, it means something. It could be a final for those little kids or whatever. We needed a bucket, and Keenan was our best player, and everyone was, like, guarding him or whatever. And we rolled the ball, and instead of shooting, he kicked it to one of his teammates, and they made the three. So that was like a cool moment where he could have taken the shot and maybe forced it. Instead, he made the right basketball play. And the fact that another teammate made the big shot brought the whole team together.
Nice. And last question, what's the proudest off-court moment you've had as a parent?
For my son, Keenan Recamp, the proudest moment. And I don't know, nuance the little things. I'm just super proud of the way he turned out overall. Yeah, I don't know where he got some of this stuff or didn't get some of this stuff. He doesn't care about items. He has one pair of shoes. Oh, I got a pair of shoes. Why would I need two pairs of shoes? So I'm just proud of his overall traits. It's like he went down the entire DNA tree of both families. And he just cherry-picked everything. I'll take that and not that and this and not that. And that's why I often get the milkman when I look at him and Keenan. And they look at me and they're like, what's the deal? You're really his dad? Okay. Because, you can tell. But I'm just so proud of him overall.
No, that's awesome, man. And we're all rooting for him. I'm Dan Bushnell for his first college journey. We'll definitely be following that. Probably trying to get to a game or two down there just to watch. Hopefully he gets in this season. I think he will. It's hard to see shooters who can shoot like him. So I'm very proud of him, man. And thanks for coming on the podcast today. We appreciate your time.
man, Curtis, and they won, it's been an honor. I really do appreciate it. Some people probably get bored when they, you know, it's like, oh, my kid, oh, my kid, oh, my kid. Like, nobody cares. It's like your fantasy football team. Nobody really cares about your fantasy football team or your kid because you want to talk about your kid. But hopefully we were able to pass along just a little real life stuff as we all battle ourselves as parents to be the best parents, support our kids through their ups and downs. And then if they have some drive, if they have some talent, and if they have some aspirations, go ahead and provide them avenue to be great.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we definitely appreciate your insights. You want to make an appearance one of these days and come check out a high school game, maybe the South Rich Benson game on MLK Day. And just don't send them the stats at halftime this song.
Listen, I really appreciate what you guys do in the community for high school basketball. It's such a treat. So thank you for creating this and informing the public and just really supporting these youth. And every single year it turns over, right? Every single year it turns over. I heard you guys talking about some studs. It's so cool. I might know them. I might not, you know, freshman, sophomore. And it's a treat to see what happens every single year with these young men.
No, absolutely. You know, the goal, you know, for us as doing this podcast and just in the basketball community is just to make sure we keep passing down as many gems as possible, share their experiences so the next generation can hopefully grow from that.
Keep it up, fellas. Thank you.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. Thanks. Thanks for coming on again.
And that's a wrap today for today's episode of Bucks on the 503. Stay grinding, stay ready, and we'll catch you next time with more stories from Oregon High School Hoops.